looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
High deep drive right center field, backing up Bengal, looking up now, she is out of here. J.D. Martinez with the exclamation, his 39th home run, and the Red Sox explode here in the ninth inning.
Yeah, Maz, it's the last official weekend of summer. I'm heading to the Cape, Maz. I'm going to New Hampshire, Winnipesaukee. 617-779-0985 here in the Baseball Reporters. Billy Lanny, you can open up the phones right away. Billy's filling in for Jimmy Stewart, our producer here tonight. Again, 617-779-0985. The Red Sox beat the White Sox last night in a game, honestly, that it looked like for a little while they were going to get no hit in. I don't think they had a hit until the fifth inning. This is the fifth of the... I think it was the fifth. Finally, Ian Kinsler singled to left field, and that put an end to that. And then, frankly, I had trouble staying up for that one. And I was bouncing over to the Patriots a lot. I picked it up this morning and saw the Red Sox scored 9 runs and won the game. So, good win for them, but that wasn't really the story of the night. And we'll get to some of the details on the game, and there are some other things to get to as well. Specifically as it pertains to the deadline for playoff eligibility, which is tonight at midnight. Tonight at midnight. If the Red Sox don't make a trade before tonight at midnight, what you see is what you get with this roster, and more specifically, this bullpen, which is really, to me, the focus and has been the focus on this team for a long time, given the way they've played here during the course of the regular season. Again, just to put it into perspective, the Red Sox right now are 93-42. They have 27 games left. They have matched their win total from a year ago. Okay? 93-27, what did I say?
I have no idea anymore.
Whatever it is. Okay, 93-25, I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. 93-32. Regardless, 617-779-0985. They matched their win total from a year ago, but here to me is really what the focus should be on tonight. Dave Dombrowski had an email exchange with Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, and Tim McCone's here to give us headlines. So, McBone, I want you to give me this again. What did Dave Dombrowski say to Chris Cotillo of Mass Live in the email exchange he had, which I'm guessing was this afternoon?
Yeah, so Cotillo tweeted this out 57 minutes ago. So Dave Dombrowski said via email that he doesn't expect the Red Sox to make any additions before midnight. Things could change, but expectation at this hour is that the Sox are going to stand pat.
Okay, so that the Red Sox are likely going to stand pat now here over the last 6 hours, heading up until September 1st. And again, anyone you get starting tomorrow cannot play in the postseason, which is really the only reason the Red Sox need to make a move at this stage. The division's over. This has nothing to do with outdistancing the Yankees or outpacing the Yankees during the month of September. This is all about who's going to be available to you in October to shore up any weaknesses you may have. And I think there are a couple of things the Red Sox can do here tonight and over the coming days, really, to give us an idea of what their roster might look like in the playoffs. Meanwhile, last night, the New York Yankees added Andrew McCutchen to the roster in a trade with the San Francisco Giants. There's some cash involved in the deal because I think the Yankees want to stay under that $197 million luxury tax threshold, more of which we will get to in one moment. But the short question is this, and this is a long way to get there. The Yankees added McCutchen, and meanwhile, Dombrowski is telling Mass Live that he doesn't expect the Red Sox are going to add anything between now and midnight. How should a Red Sox fan feel about that, McCone? How do you feel about that?
I'm frustrated, especially when you look at the way that Dombrowski has built this team. It's to win now, right? It's to win in this window. You've gutted the farm system. And if you're going to wind up a bullpen arm short, you're really not going to go the extra mile to add what could put you over the top. I think it's really frustrating to get to this point and not add that one piece that you may need down the stretch. The McCutchen thing, I think you touched on it earlier. I'm sure you're going to get into it as well, but I kind of look at it more in the Aaron Judge sense that maybe now long-term they might have questions about his availability moving forward.
Okay, so look, the fact that the Red Sox haven't added bullpen help here, I find to be inexcusable.
Absolutely.
And that is independent of whether or not their bullpen's good. I look at any team that's a contender heading into the month of September, or heading into August and September, because I'm going back to July 31st now, I find that to be inexcusable. To me, that is like baseball management 101. If you have a team that is vying for a playoff spot, you go get bullpen help on July 31st. That's standard, automatic. The same way that I would say an NHL team's got to go get a defenseman. You can never have enough defensemen in the NHL, particularly in the playoffs, where guys are going to get the snot kicked out of them and you're going to have injuries. You can never have too much pitching in Major League Baseball, particularly in your bullpen, particularly in August, September, and October. When arms are wearing down, guys are getting tired, people are hitting the wall, and you're playing games that become more important. So think of that, too. That as the Red Sox have all these bullpen struggles, and I read this in one of the stories the other day, where they said that, well, this is a time of year where relievers hit the wall. Well, then shouldn't you have more of them?
Yeah.
What are you doing? If guys start hitting the wall and you get into meaningful games and you have fewer options, whose fault is that? Like, I look at that and I say, that to me is really inexcusable that Dave Dombrowski did not add bullpen help. But again, I know there are Red Sox fans out there that seem to think that the bullpen's good enough, which, again, I think you're out of your mind. Meanwhile, the Yankees get Andrew McCutchen. And I want to read to you from the story on ESPN.com that I read this morning, because I think that this assessment of the trade misses the most obvious point. And McBone touched on it here, but we'll get to it in a second. In the ESPN story about the McCutchen trade to the Yankees from the Giants, the move will help the Yankees boost their outfield production a bit while they wait for slugger Aaron Judge to make his return from a right wrist injury. It also will give the team an additional player to help spell Giancarlo Stanton, who has played in 83 straight games, and it will allow more flexibility for manager Aaron Boone to use the DH slot as a way to give Stanton more opportunities to rest his legs. Okay, so it says here the primary reason the Yankees made the deal to get McCutchen, it buys them some time for Judge, and it gives a little bit of a break to Stanton. Okay, do you believe that, McBone?
No.
Why not?
I just think when you look at it in the timing of this deal and the initial timeline that we got for Aaron Judge, what did they say, 3 weeks?
They did.
And now it doesn't look like he's even close to this point. It smells to me like it's a move where you're bringing in McCutchen because he's going to be a piece down the stretch because Judge isn't going to be available for you.
Okay, so to me, that's the story. This has nothing to do with waiting for Aaron Judge. This has everything to do with Aaron Judge might not be coming back. And even if he does, he's going to be playing with a compromised wrist, and we don't know what we're going to get. So we had to go get help because our whole team is built on the middle of our batting order. I mean, let's face it. The whole reason that everybody piled on the Yankees here in the early part of the year, myself included, Sanchez, Stanton, Judge, not necessarily in that order. Now, Sanchez has sucked all year, and he's had this ongoing groin issue. Now Judge got hit by a pitch, which is a bad break. But of those three, Judge is the best hitter.
Yeah.
Okay, Judge is the best hitter. Now we can talk about Stanton having more power, Sanchez maybe having more value because of the position he plays and what he's able to give them out of that position. But average, you know, all around, Aaron Judge is the best hitter in that group. The Yankees went out and got Andrew McCutchen because they don't think Judge is coming back, and if he does, they don't know what they're going to get. That's why they got McCutchen, okay? It has nothing to do with the month of September. Nothing. The Yankees aren't catching the Red Sox. They know they're going to be in the wild card game, the play-in game. They're going to be in that game. So McCutchen doesn't help them catch Boston. McCutchen gives them insurance on Judge, at least as well as they were going to get insurance on Judge at this stage of the season. You don't replace a guy like that. 52 home runs a year ago, MVP caliber player. You don't replace him. But McCutchen, it's a pretty good get. He's not, you know, having a great year, but we all know the ability, we know the talent, and it'll be fun to see him play in New York. So anyway, that's where we're going to start. 617-779-0985. Paul is in Ashland. Paul, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, what's going on? Little Red Sox talk. I was wanted to talk about David Price, Chris Sale. Does it make any sense to shut these guys down? We can't win anything in the postseason without these guys, and they're clearly not healthy. Do we have enough gas left in the tank with the rest of these guys to just finish out the season?
So, Paul, when you say...
Waste a great season. I'm just curious on your take on that.
Okay, so when you say, does it make any sense to shut them down, you mean you don't want them shut down right now? You want them on the mound?
No, I don't want them on the mound, but you know, I'm fearful in a week or 10 days, you know, they're feeling a little bit better that we trot them out there and perhaps they get hurt again. We can't do anything without these guys in the postseason, right? So does it make any sense to just indefinitely sort of put them on the shelf?
Well, I think basically that's what they've done, Paul. I mean, I think they've done that. I think they've indefinitely put Chris Sale on the shelf. Now, the Price thing popped up the other day, and that is not a pitching wear and tear injury, which Sale's ailment feels like, right? Billy, do we have that cut from Alex Cora that we grabbed the other day about when he talked about Chris Sale's health and when he'd be ready to pitch? Cora said something the other night about Sale that I thought was kind of interesting. And he caught himself in mid-sentence and stopped. And you know what? Actually, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play that when we come back, if you haven't heard it yet. And I got an email from a listener last night, maybe it was yesterday, asking whether there's a different reason why the Red Sox haven't added bullpen help. The prevailing theory now is that, first of all, there aren't that many good pitchers to acquire because nobody's getting through waivers. That's really the big one. That who are you going to get now, and is it any better than what you have? A listener yesterday emailed me with an idea that I had not considered, and I wonder about, you know, potentially being on point. So we'll get to that, too, in Alex Cora's comment on Chris Sale.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Quick reminder, the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohiganSun.com. So thanks to our friends down at Mohegan Sun. As always, Matt McCarthy, the Velvet Blade. He just stuck his head here in the studio. Big baseball guy. You can check out his podcast, too, Hardcore Baseball, on 98.5 The Sports Hub, SportsHub.com. You can also download the app. A great new app. And I say great new, it's like a year old now. For crying out loud. How long have we had it, Billy? How long have we had that app? Billy's not even listening to me. Billy's already tired. He's checked into Labor Day weekend mode already. So I'll get to your calls here. I want to get to what Alex Cora said about Chris Sale later in the week. I meant to do this earlier in the week, and I forgot. But in the interim, I want to take a couple of your phone calls. I see a number you lined up already. Mike is in a car. Mike, what do you got, pal?
Hi, I just wanted to say, like, how similar this feels to the Patriots going into the postseason earlier this year, where you have this world-beating offense that is masking a glaring deficiency, that being our bullpen this year. And, you know, think of all the games that we should have lost, but we didn't because our offense, you know, pulls out 9 runs in an inning or something crazy like that. And, you know, yeah, great. We can do that against the Marlins, but are we going to be able to do that against the Aroldis Chapman in a Game 7 in the ALCS? I mean, what do you think?
Okay, so, Mike, yeah, look, I mean, analogies between sports are always loose, right? And most times they don't work. And honestly, I try to avoid doing it. I do it. But I try to avoid doing it because it's never perfect. So the Red Sox have strengths defensively, if that's what you want to say. Pitching and defense. Okay, they have strengths there. They have Chris Sale. They have a terrific defensive outfield. Xander Bogaerts has been overall pretty darn solid at shortstop this year, except for that line drive he missed in that game. Do you remember that? Like, was that the Yankees? I don't remember which game it was. It was a horrible play. Like, I don't know how he missed the ball. But, and the defense at third base has been a train wreck. Second base has gotten better since Kinsler got there. But overall, I feel like the Red Sox are in better shape than the Patriots were in that spot. The Patriots masked, like, bad defense really across the board. I mean, they had trouble defending the pass. They had trouble defending the run. They didn't get to the quarterback. But it's not, you know, there's a weakness there. There is an Achilles heel there that can be exposed by good teams in the postseason that bad teams during the regular season could not necessarily take advantage of. Dave is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I was telling you, I was listening to what you guys were saying and talking about the relief pitching. I mean, it's just awful. I mean, but...
Hey, Dave, what exactly are you doing?
I'm just walking out of the package store. What do you think I'm doing?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I hear you futzing around in the background. You clearly can't keep a train of thought.
I can't do two things at once. You're right.
Me neither.
But you know, I think you're right. The bullpen sucks. But the reason the bullpen sucks is these guys have been overused. Look at you get these guys who can't go more than five innings because the damn union says, oh, 100 pitches. Okay, what's the book say? Oh, Joe Kelly against the left-hander. Put Joe Kelly in. So you wind up using five guys every night, and they can't get to a position where they're rested and ready to go.
Okay, so hold on. But that's a game-wide problem, isn't it? That's not
absolutely.
Okay,
the caller just prior said it.
So then, hold on a minute.
No way. All right, you go ahead.
So then, everybody should have a bad bullpen, right?
Everybody does have a bad bullpen this time of year, and that's the point.
Okay, so what if I told you that Red Sox starters in the American League rank third in innings? Do you still think that they pull the starters too fast?
Well, I mean, if you go back to the last month, I would say that stat would be different. You go for the entire year, absolutely.
Okay, but again, Dave, look, in the last month, you're going to hit a rut. It's not even a month. It's probably closer to like 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, and this real bad stretch has been maybe 10 days. Okay, so... Like, you know what? That guy irritated the crap out of me the more I think about it. He's kind of a wise ass, wasn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I tell him to shut up, and he keeps flapping his gums. Red flag that guy. Like, so look, the starting pitching problem, in not everybody has a crap bullpen. That's not true. Not everybody has a crap bullpen. And I would tell you that, because there was someone that called up the other day and started beating the crap out of Alex Cora about it. And honestly, again, their starters have thrown the third most innings in the league. So Cora is not leaning on the bullpen at an unusually high level. And more importantly, and this is the bigger point, is Joe Kelly really any different than what he was last year or the year before? How about Matt Barnes? Is he or is Heath Hembree? These guys are the same pitchers they've always been. They don't throw strikes with any regularity or consistency. So you know whose fault that is? Dombrowski's. He's asking guys to somehow magically overnight turn into something different. And they're going to stay what they are. There's a reason they are middle relievers. And to me, look, this all gets into semantics. But to me, you have closers, setup men, and middle relievers. Your closers are your best. Your setup men are right there with them. And then you have your middle relievers who are inconsistent. And you play musical chairs with your middle relievers based on matchups, situation, and who's hot. And now Alex Cora has to play musical chairs with his setup man because he doesn't have one. So he's got to put this cast of characters on this merry-go-round and spin it, the wheel of gutless bums, and see who shows up on that night and take his chances. That's what he has to do. CJ's in Dorchester. Go ahead, CJ.
Yeah, I think that in general, I'm pretty outraged they haven't added anybody at this point. I mean, the more I think about it, is there anybody in that bullpen that has even a different kind of delivery? Do we have any side armors, any submarine guys, anything different?
No, and in fact, CJ, not only, you know, delivery is one thing, also stuff is another, and the reality is they're all unbelievably alike. I mean, they're all fastball, breaking ball. Now, the breaking balls are a little different. So, you know, Matt Barnes' curveball is more of an overhand curve. I would even say Thornburg's curveball breaks more like an overhand curve. He's got good depth on it. Hembree throws more of a slider. But they're all fastball, breaking ball. Kelly, fastball, breaking ball. Again, I'd put his breaking ball probably more in the class of someone like Thornburg than Barnes. I mean, Barnes starts that sucker way up high, right? The other two guys, not quite. Theirs are a little tighter. Barnes is more of a looping breaking ball. And Kelly throws his change now occasionally, but it's really not a consistently good pitch. And so he's erratic with it. But they're all right-handed. They're all fastball breaking ball. Now, Brazier has been the best of the lot. In the game last night, one inning, one strikeout, no walks. And I think that overall that has been pretty consistent for him. His numbers are good. But you're talking about a 30-year-old rookie who has never really proven anything in the United States, let alone the big leagues. And couldn't pitch the other night because he had a foot problem. And honestly, I wonder whether they're telling the truth there. Maybe there's an arm issue that they have to manage with him because he's probably pitched more in the last 2 months than he ever has before. So there's something going on there with him. And are you going to throw him on the mound at Yankee Stadium or in Houston or wherever in October with a crowd going crazy and a one-run lead? So now look, at this stage, I would take my chances because I don't trust the other guys. So maybe you strike lightning there and you get something out of Brazier. But the fact is, they're hoping they get lucky. That's the way the manager's handling it now. I keep saying I want to get to this comment that Alex Cora made about Chris Sale earlier in the week. We'll do that when we come back. I also want to ask that question about the reason the Red Sox haven't made a deal yet. We'll do that after McBone. Get you caught up on headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, well, the Patriots have started making roster cuts. They released five players this afternoon. Cornerback Ryan Lewis, defensive tackle Frank Heron, wide receiver Paul Turner, running back Khalfani Muhammad, and wide receiver Devin Lucien. Pats have also traded safety Jordan Richards to the Falcons for a conditional 2020 seventh-round draft pick. Around the rest of the NFL, one name to keep an eye on, that would be wide receiver Michael Floyd. He has been cut by the Saints. He, of course, spent the end of the 2016 season with the New England Patriots. Defensive end Coney Ealy, he's been released by the Cowboys. Texans have waived third-year wide receiver Braxton Miller. They've also cut punter Shane Leckler. And the Rams have agreed to a six-year, $135 million contract with defensive lineman Aaron Donald. The contract includes $87 million guaranteed. It is the richest deal for a defensive player in NFL history. Red Sox taking on the White Sox tonight. Nathan Eovaldi gets a start for Boston. First pitch is at 8:10. Mass Live's Chris Cotillo tweeting out that Dave Dombrowski said via email that he doesn't expect the Red Sox to make any additions before midnight tonight. And round one of the Dell Technologies Championship over at TPC Boston, we have a three-way tie atop the leaderboard between Keegan Bradley, Chris Kirk, and Bo Hostler, who all finished at 4-under. Tiger Woods finishing the day one shot over. Sports of Headlines brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer of the Dell Technologies Championship. Michelob Ultra, live fit, live fun, live ultra. Must be 21 plus. Drink responsibly. I'm Tim McCona, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports.
This is the Baseball Reporters,
which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports.
All right, before I get back to your calls, let's get to this Alex Cora comment on Chris Sale earlier in the week. And this goes back to the Marlins series. But Cora was asked, you know, what's the timetable? What is the time frame for Chris Sale here? What are we looking at? And here is what he said.
Yeah, he played catch yesterday. He's playing catch today again. So that's good. That's all I can give you right now. Like I said before, there's no a day that we're shooting for. The day we're shooting for actually is when he's ready to pitch, he'll pitch.
Okay, so did you hear that, McBone? Did you listen? I mean, you were distracted. I'm not trying to bust your balls. That you didn't hear the whole thing,
no.
Right? Okay, so listen again here, because I want the callers, because there's a little subtle thing in there at the end that's worth listening to. Even if you were listening, you might have missed it. And a listener emailed me about this, and I thought it was interesting. So again, this is Cora. Listen to the end. When he says about the day we're shooting for is the day he's, okay? And Billy, go ahead. And
yeah, he played catch yesterday. He's playing catch today again. So that's good. That's all I can give you right now. Like I said before, there's no a day that we're shooting for. The day we're shooting for actually is when he's ready to pitch, he'll pitch.
Okay, so he's about to say the day we're shooting for is when he's healthy. I mean, he says half the word.
Yeah.
He says health.
The day we're shooting for actually is when he's ready to pitch, he'll pitch.
Okay, like he even says, I think he almost says health. right? And then stops himself. And as usual, we read into everything here. Why wouldn't he say healthy there? Like, why would you stop yourself from using the word healthy?
I think they're trying to downplay maybe the severity of the injury to Sale, right? The whole time they've been saying he'd pitch through it if he had to, this and that. And if you're talking about whether or not he's actually hurt and he's not healthy, that's a huge red flag there.
Okay, so it's one of two things, right? Either he's healthy now and they're just saving him for October. I mean, they're up so many games. There's, again, you know, they're and I'm going to try to get this right this time.
When he's healthy.
I don't know, it's a little weird. Like, why wouldn't you use the word healthy there? I mean, we all assume that he's got some inflammation in his shoulder. The Red Sox only have 27 games left. They are now up 8.5. 8 in the loss column. The Yankees aren't going to catch them. So maybe they're just holding Sale out. Or he's actually hurt.
Right.
And he's more hurt than what they've been telling us. And so he's not healthy.
When he's healthy. Yeah,
and Cora caught himself sort of saying the wrong thing in reverse field. So it is. It's just one of those things where when you hear it, you're like, what's wrong with using the word healthy there? Why, if you're the manager, why would you stop in that sentence and say he's when he's ready to pitch? Because he wants us to think the pitcher's healthy.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know. I mean, am I reading into it too much?
No, I think that's probably spot on.
So it just, it to me, is curious that he would catch himself like that. Frank's in Texas. Go, Frank.
Yeah, so I think something that's more concerning to me is how many runs our starting pitching gives up very early on in the game. Seems like we've been playing catch-up lately, and how sustainable that is into the playoffs. And then also on a second note, I want to know your opinions on Jackie Bradley Jr. since you and Felker were kind of giving him a lot of trash shortly after the All-Star break.
Okay, so Frank, what is your opinion on Jackie Bradley Jr.?
I think when he's bat nine and he can get, you know, get one or two hits a night or even just the one, they come up big. I think it makes a significant difference. I think his defense is invaluable. But he just needs to string a couple hits together, and I think it makes the world a difference.
Okay, you're right about everything except the defense is invaluable part. The defense is overrated. Center field defense is overrated. He makes, what, 5 or 6 plays a year that are really different from what another center fielder would make? I mean, every center fielder in the game makes great plays all year long, okay, or good plays. It's the great one that separates him from everybody else that makes him different. And I'm telling you, that's 5 or 6 plays a year. At that position, 5 or 6 plays a year. Here's the other thing, and I saw a great story about this the other day. We are in an age now where fewer balls are being put into play. So defense is less important than it was. You follow me?
Yeah.
There aren't as many plays to make. I think strikeouts, they've set a record in the major leagues in strikeouts collectively. Is it 11 years in a row? This will be the 11th year in a row they've set a strikeout record. Think of that. Every year for the last 10 years, strikeouts have set a they've set a record for strikeouts in the major leagues. Fewer and fewer balls are being put into play. So why do you need a great center fielder? You won a World Series with Johnny Damon playing center field, and you won 2 with Jacoby Ellsbury out there. And I don't care if Ellsbury won a Gold Glove or he didn't. He wasn't that good. Okay, he was okay, and Damon was average, if you ask me.
Probably wins a better center fielder than Jackie Bradley.
Steve. Steve in West Roxbury, what do you got?
Hey, Freddie Wynn's a better center fielder than Jackie Bradley would ever be.
Who is?
Freddie Wynn can put him in his jock strap. Freddie Wynn's a better center fielder than Jackie Bradley.
Hey, Steve, did you get it?
Freddie Wynn.
Steve,
is a better center fielder than Jackie Bradley, whatever you even think of being. He's the only guy. There's 3 things that Freddie Wynn has.
Steve, see you later. See you. I was going to ask Steve if he got an early start on Liberty
Weekend. Yeah.
If he got an early start on Liberty Weekend, but I think we already know the answer to that one. Yeah, that's an easy one, I think, McCone. Even you could have deduced that one. Rick's at Acton. Rick, how do you get?
Hey, Nance, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Listen, from the beginning of your show, I'm in 1,000,000% agreement that we really screwed up about not getting a reliever, and that it's just excusable. excusable fact. And I sort of have an analogy, and it revolves around a car, which is great because I think Dave Dombrowski is like a car salesman.
No, I love analogies.
Yes. But so imagine, so you've got an Indy race car, right?
Yeah.
And you're winning all these races, and the Indy 500's coming up.
Okay, let me write people this down. Go ahead, yeah.
And the people say to you, you know what, Matt? If you got four new tires, you're definitely going to win. You're going to be drinking the milk. You're going to be kissing the babe. It's going to be awesome. But, you know, if you keep on running on these crappy tires, who knows? You might not even get through the race. So I'm using the analogy of tires to relief pitchers. You know, can we win the race? Maybe. But would we definitely win the race if we had a reliever? Our chances would be better.
Rick, what time did you get out of work today?
Actually, I'm still kind of working.
You are? Okay, I'm impressed by that, actually, because you should see the building here. There's nobody left. In fact, there was nobody left at about 2 o'clock. That said, I think your analogy's terrible. I'm just offering that up for consumption. I think it's a terrible analogy. But, you know, in any case, Brian's in the car. Brian, go.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear, yeah.
Hey, Eduardo Rodriguez, I know he's supposed to start Saturday. What do you think? What are your thoughts about moving him to the bullpen? He's a lefty coming out of the bullpen and give you three pitches. He throws hard. You think he could probably touch about 96, 97 when he's really ramping up out of the pen for just an inning or two. I don't know if they can use him kind of like an Andrew Miller. I know he's not as talented as Andrew Miller, but I just think it's a little late in the season to stretch him out. And you just said all the guys coming out of the bullpen, they're all righty. They all throw hard, and they all throw one breaking ball, and that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, so, Brian, look, he was in the minor leagues on rehab, so they've been stretching him out down there a little bit. And that's an important distinction between him and Price from last year. When Price started to come back last year, there wasn't a ton of time left. And frankly, I think they just decided that he was going to be a better weapon for them in the bullpen. I don't know how many innings Eduardo Rodriguez pitched the other night, McBone.
But I know his first one was four. I know his first rehab start was four innings. I forget what the second one was.
Okay. Do me a favor. Just look him up on minorleaguebaseball.com. Okay? And that'll give you the game log and see how many pitches he threw, if it shows, or how many innings he went the other night. Because I would rather have Eduardo Rodriguez in the rotation. And part of the reason for that is that I'm not sure he can pitch in the bullpen. I'm still not entirely sure whether he can throw strikes well enough to pitch out of the bullpen. This year, his walks per nine are down, to 2.8, which is good. I mean, for a starter, his career is 3.0. But this year especially, he dropped quite a bit this year. I mean, 15, 20% in terms of walks per nine. So that's a good number. And the stuff would play. I mean, if he could come out of the bullpen, throw 96 and throw strikes, my answer is yes. Yes. You're asking a guy to do something he's never done before. And that, to me, is where I get a little bit concerned. Any luck, Tim?
So he threw four innings, both starts.
Does it have a pitch count there, too, or no?
I don't see that.
Yet. Okay, yeah, no worries. It's no, that site's not as comprehensive. The idea with Rodriguez is not a bad one. Okay, the idea of putting a lefty out there, we had a caller a little while ago who brought up the fact that the Red Sox relievers are all a similar profile, meaking fastball, breaking ball, right? Fastball, that makes them all really more suitable for right-handed batters, unless you can really bury that breaking ball in on lefties, in which case then you can get both. And look, a lot of these guys show some ability to get lefties too. I don't want to say they're absolutely brutal against lefties. They show some ability to get lefties. If you could get a lefty to come out of there and throw 96 and get some big outs, it would make a huge, huge difference. I just don't know that Rodriguez can do it. I mean, Price has pitched in relief before, remember. What do you get?
63 pitches in the first one and then 76 in the second.
Okay, so again, the next time out, he's pitching tomorrow, right? They'll get him up to 85. You know, basically you'll jump 10 to 15 every time, which means you still got a month to go. He's already at 73. You get him to 85 and then 100. So he's right there. Now for him, that's only five innings sometimes less. He's not exactly one of the most pitch efficient guys in the world, but I'll still take five good innings out of Eduardo Rodriguez instead of one, especially given that he's never done, you know, he's never really pitched out of the bullpen before. Rick's in a car. Go, Rick.
Hey, Matt, I heard you talking about the fact that strikeouts have been going up every year. I'd be curious to know, I can't look it up easily, what the sacrifice bunt is doing. I feel like that's gone way down, and I feel like the game in general is kind of just going to trash.
Okay, so look, Rick, it's a different game. Nobody bunts anymore. You don't see sacrifice bunts anymore. I mean, they do it in the National League all the time because the pitcher comes up, and they have to. But in the American League, I don't know. Again, maybe it's worth looking up to see who's got the most sacrifice bunts in the American League. But I'd be willing to bet whoever it is doesn't have more than 25. I mean, maybe one a week. Maybe 30. But I'd be shocked if it's much higher than that. 617-779-0985 on the Baseball Reporters. We'll wrap it up with your calls. Next, we'll check in with, who is it, Jeopardy Joe Murray tonight? Jeopardy Joe Murray's in, and we will give you the big wide matchups of the game when we come back.